Well, what do you want to do now? Man, I got a full measure message here. That's what I was going to ask next. You're going to dock my time because of the child presentation. You know, that's two different things. But the great thing about having our own church is, unless the Lord takes us out beforehand, we come back. In Romans, the 6th chapter, if you would go there, please. Romans chapter 6. We've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Free from Sin. Romans 6 and 1 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" What he's saying is, since we are saved by grace, and we're in the age of grace, is sin not a big deal anymore? Shall we continue in sin? Because, you know, more sin, just more grace. What's the next phrase? God forbid. No way. That would be entirely wrong thinking. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, he mentions several phrases in this chapter and others relative to our situation where sin is concerned. And this is one of them. We are dead to sin. Now, regardless of how you might try to process that, don't. Just accept what he said and say it over yourself. Said out loud, because of what Jesus has done,
I am dead to sin.
And then he goes on to say, verse 6, knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So say it again, from henceforth.
I don't serve sin.
I'm dead to sin.
I don't serve sin.
Verse 7, for he that is dead is what?
Freed from sin.
Do you see how these keep, yeah. You know, just keep accruing? Say it out loud. I'm dead to sin. I don't serve sin.
I'm free from sin.
And then in verse 11, he says, likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. That means you don't have to. That you should obey it in the lust thereof. Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Hallelujah, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Said out loud, I'm dead to sin.
I don't serve sin.
I'm free from sin.
Sin shall not. Have dominion over me.
This will help us marvelously if we will say this.
That's right.
In faith, agreeing with Him. And when you most need to say it, it's when you just made mistakes.
There you go. That's it.
Yep. That's what walking by faith is all about.
Amen.
You're not walking by what you see, by what you feel. The enemy will pounce on you and bring thoughts and try to push you to say, I can't help it. I can't keep from doing this. There's nothing I can do. Well, see, that's not what this said. This says, I'm dead to it. I'm free from it. I don't serve it. But see, it takes faith to talk that way. But you're not trying to say something you have done. This is based on what He has done. But you are accepting it.
Yeah.
I want to hear you say it again. I am
dead to sin.
I am
free from sin.
I do not let
sin
reign over me.
Sin shall not
have dominion,
or control
over me.
I mean,
isn't that the same thing as saying I'm free from it?
It
doesn't control me.
Amen.
You know, you've heard me tell this some years ago. Oh, this has been decades ago. Ministering in Brother Kenneth Hagin's ministry, a man came in and told me that he couldn't quit smoking. He'd been smoking since he was a little boy. And he said, I'm addicted, he said, to nicotine. And I can't quit. I've tried. I've been prayed for. I've had hands laid on me. I've thrown away cigarettes and and just go back and buy more. And he said, I can't quit. I can't quit. I can't quit. Huh? Now see, I picked up on that right off, but he's not even hearing what he's saying. Huh? I'm addicted to nicotine, he says. Mm-hmm. I can't quit. I can't quit. And I just stopped him because he was about to say it for the 12th time. And I said, well, will you do what I tell you? He said, well, don't ask me to throw them. I said, I'm not going to ask you to throw anything away. I said, will you do this? I want you every time anything reminds you of smoking, I want you to open your mouth and say, I am free from cigarettes. I'm free from nicotine. I'm free from smoking. Not gonna be. Not need to be. Not wanna be. Not working on it. I am
free.
He looked at, he said, but Brother Keith, I ain't free yet. I said, will you do it? He said, well, I don't know. I said, you don't have to understand it. Just will you do it? He said, what do you mean? He said, well, I'll be smoking. I said, you're already smoking. I said, when you buy cigarettes. He said, yeah, but I'll be buying them. I said, you're already buying them. When you buy the cigarettes and you leave the store, you say, thank you, Lord. I am free from cigarettes. He said, yeah, but I just bought some. I said, are you listening or not? I said, when you pull out a pack, when you open it up, you say, thank you, Lord. I'm free from smoking. When you light one up, you open your mouth and you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for setting me free from smoking. Thank you. I am free from nicotine. When you put it out, you say, he said, I get it. Thank you, Lord. I said, yes. When you take them out of your pocket, you lay them on your nightstand. Anything that reminds you of smoking, tell me what you say.
Thank you, Lord.
I am free. Am free. See, what we're talking about now is the difference between walking by sight and walking by faith. Because anybody can look at what they see and how they feel and how things have been going and saying, well, I ain't free and I can't get free and I've tried everything and nothing works for me. Oh, something's working.
Yeah.
It's what you're saying is working, but it's working against you.
That's right.
And he said, well, I've tried. He said, you're not going to pray? I said, no. He said, well, I just don't know. I said, you've tried other things, haven't you? I said, just do it.
Right.
Well, I don't know what, but it wasn't that long. Matter of days, a couple of weeks, whatever it was. I saw him come back in the back and I was in the front finishing up a message. And I didn't even have to ask. His face is just beaming. And I knew he just itching to come see me. And so I said, all right, tell me what happened. He said, Brother Keith. He said, I didn't really know what to think about it at first. And he said it was embarrassing because I'd look around and make sure nobody was around to hear me because I'm smoking. And he said, I said it. And I said it all day, and I said it in the night, and I said it every time I lit up, and I said it every time I put one out. And he said, this went on until I'm doing it so much, I got to where I'm saying it without thinking. Then where is it coming from? Can you see that? Something's getting in him. Faith comes by hearing. Even if the hearing's coming out of your own mouth. And your words carry more weight in your life than anybody else's. And he said, this went on, you know, for days and days. And he said, but I was on the street corner, and I pulled a cigarette out, and I started to light it up. And when I did, I said, thank you, Lord, I am free. He said, something went all over me. And I looked at it, and I knew that was it. He said, I have no desire. I have no craving. He said, I am free. Hallelujah. But it didn't start with the looking free and feeling free. It started with the saying free and believing free. And one reason I say it, just recently, I had a young man come tell me that he was delivered from crack. The same way he heard the smoking testimony. And another one told me he was delivered from some other form of heroin. I mean, hard drugs and many years of addiction and just at death's door with it. And he heard the one about the smoking. Yeah. And so he just starts saying, I'm free from crack. I'm free from heroin. I'm free. Well, is anything too hard for the Lord? And they were at church telling me that they had been delivered. Is this amazing or is this amazing? Why am I saying it? It'll work the same with any kind of sin.
Yes, it has.
Lying, stealing, sexual. Come on, are you with me or not? You got to stop saying, I'm bound, I can't, I don't know what to do. You got to begin to declare, I am free from lying. I am free from deceiving. Huh? Even if you just told a lie 5 minutes ago.
Amen.
I'm free from taking things. I'm free from stealing. I'm free. I'm free. And if you will declare that and keep on declaring it and not change, you're giving God something to work with in your life. And the Holy Spirit will empower that. And the next thing you know, you will have gone days and weeks and months and not done it, and that can turn into a lifetime. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. And that wasn't in my notes anywhere, but that's all right. So depending on the time, we'll just see. We maybe have to come back to finish this. But in James, the second chapter, look there, please. Lord, thank you for showing me. Thank you for showing me. Thank you, Lord. In James, the second chapter and the 8th verse. I tell you what, let's stop just a moment here and close your eyes, focus on Him. Let's pray in the Spirit just a minute. I want to make sure about the rest of the direction of this. Father, we submit ourselves to you. We only want what you want for us today. We want your words, your direction, your will, your way. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Nothing is too hard for you, Lord. Nothing is too big or too difficult for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In James, the second chapter, and the 8th verse, he says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. Keep going. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Let me pause here just a moment. We are not to give people preferential treatment because of how much money they have. Or because they're famous. Are well known. Y'all okay? Because even if somebody is one of the... No, I'm not talking about shunning people and being rude. I'm not saying that. But, you know, the scripture, James talks about this as well, about somebody coming in that didn't have anything and not dressed well, and y'all sit on the floor,
right.
And then somebody comes in that has real expensive clothes on and they're well off, and you give them the preferred seat. Yeah. Well, yeah, but who are they in the kingdom?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Some of these folks, not even saved, don't love the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we should be rude, but we don't show respect to persons because of money.
Amen.
And position. Y'all agree with that?
Yes.
He said, verse 10, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now, if you commit no adultery, and yet if you kill, you are become a transgressor of the law." Because of this passage, I think some people have come to the idea that there is no one sin worse than another. That if you committed a sin, one sin is as bad as the other. But that's not what he said. And that's not what other scripture reveals. You know, you got to watch about filling in the blanks.
Amen.
Or assuming things. And you want to be real conscientious about what exactly did he say. He's talking about transgressing the law. And sure, let's just take the Ten Commandments. If you kept 9 of the Ten Commandments wonderfully, but you transgressed one of them, well, you broke the law. You are a transgressor of the law. But go with me to John 19. Gospel account of John. The 19th chapter. What he said is that you were a transgressor of the law. Whether you broke 1 or 2 or 3 or all, you're still a transgressor. But John 19:11, well, let's look at verse 10, John 19:10. When Jesus was brought before Pilate, and he initially, he did not even answer him or speak to him. And Pilate said, "You don't speak to me? Don't you know I got power to crucify you and power to release you? In other words, your life is in my hands. I can sentence you to death or I can let you go. And you don't talk to me?" Notice what Jesus said. He said, "You could have no power at all against me, except it were given you from above." You know, we need to be aware of things above and the bigger picture. He said, "Therefore, he that delivered me to you has the what?
Greater
sin." And greater here means degree. The greater degree of sin. So this idea about one sin not being any worse than another, that doesn't agree with the scriptures. Greater sin. What he was talking about was the chief priests and the scribes. They delivered Jesus up to Pilate. And he said, they are more responsible. They have a bigger sin than you. Now, go to John, Gospel account of John, the 12th chapter. And you begin to see why. John 12 and 41. He said, "These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spoke of him." So he's quoting from the book of Isaiah. Verse 42. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him." Now these are the same people that he was just talking about that were guilty of the greater sin. They believed on Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. So there were several of the elders and leaders of the Jews. They recognized Jesus is the Messiah. He is the... It's their life studying Scripture. And he fulfilled every one of them. Every way you looked at it. This is him. And, but they decided to not show it, not say it, because they were concerned about their position. And they had the fear of men silenced them. And not just that, they loved, verse 43, the praise of men more than the praise of God. And Jesus cried and said, "He that believes on me believes not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that sees me sees him that sent me." Verse 47, "If any man hear my words and believe not, I don't judge him. I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I've spoken, the same will judge him in the last day." So the greater sin was because of what they knew. Every one of our definitions of sin that we've given, we've talked about the transgression of the law is sin. We've talked about to him that knows to do good and does it not to... Notice what that leads off with. To him that what?
Knows.
Whatever's not of faith is sin. These kind of... Every one of these has to do with what you know. So the degree of the sin is connected with how much you know.
All right.
And the reason their sin was so great, several of them knew when they were turning him over. Can you see this? Trying to get him, that's what happened, but, sentenced to death, trying to get him judged by the Roman leaders. Several of them knew who he was. That's why he said that. Back up with me, if you would, to Luke 12. Luke 12, y'all got time for this? Luke 12 and 47. Well, I tell you, let's back up 40, verse 45. 12:45. "If the servant says, 'My Lord delays his coming,' and begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, eat and drink and be drunken, the Lord of that servant comes in the day when he's not looking for him, hour when he's not aware. He'll cut him asunder, appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. That servant which" what? "Knew his Lord's will and didn't prepare himself, neither did according to his will." He knew the Lord's will, but he wouldn't do the Lord's will. "He will be beaten with many stripes." Verse 48. He that knew not, didn't know. But he did some things that were worthy of punishment. He'll be beaten with few stripes. Well, yeah, but they did. They made the same mistake. Not spiritually. Maybe externally, it was the same mistake. But what's God looking at all the time?
The heart.
For unto whom much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they ask the more. Matthew 23:14. Don't turn there, but they'll just put it on the screen. Matthew 23:14. It has to do with what you know. Matthew 23:14. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" Now, what would make you a hypocrite? You know better than what you're doing. You know more than what you're acting like. For you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make a long prayer. So they're stealing widow women's houses and then acting like the Lord told them to do it and praying a special prayer over them as they wind up in the street. Therefore you shall receive what? The greater damnation or condemnation. So this idea that all sins are equal is not accurate. It's not what the scripture says. Now the great news about this is Jesus has paid for all sins. Is that right? No matter how big or small or how little or how grievous. Somebody say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Go to 1 John, if you would, and the 5th chapter. 1 John 5. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. 1 John and 5. Man, this is so good. Start at verse 1. Let me see if I can shorten it or not. This is so wonderful. Verse 2, I'll scan them, and so if I don't, I'll start preaching on every one of them. Keep going. Yeah. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Don't you like that?
Amen.
Keep going. Who is he that overcomes the world? And see, he's talking specifically about your faith is in Jesus. He that believes what? That Jesus is the Son of God. Man, this is so big. Looking at the time. So how many give me 5 more minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30.
Take your time. Yeah.
This is a whole nother message here, but the greatest sin of all is not murder. It's not lying, it's not stealing, it's not adultery, it's not sexual perversion, it's rejecting Jesus. That's the sin from which there's no recovery. If you do that and you don't recant, you don't repent afterwards, there is no salvation for you because there is no other name. There is no other way. If you reject Jesus, there's only a fearful looking for judgment. That is all the future you will have. And reason I'm trying to be plain about this is because people preach all kind of stuff. That there are many ways to the same God. People are doing many different paths, but they wind up, and we're all just brothers and sisters, children of the same loving God. That is not Bible. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what the Father said. No, not true. We're not all brothers and sisters. Jesus told the religious leaders of his day, you are of your father, the devil. No. And he told Nicodemus, who was one of the most respected spiritual elders, you must be born again. Must be born from above. That's how you get into the family, into the kingdom of God. And that happens by believing on, receiving, confessing the one and only Savior of the world, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. And whatever people say about Him lets you know whether they are lost or saved. It all comes back to that. It comes back to what you do with Him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So if you're a real Christian and you believe the Bible, you cannot believe and accept any other way of salvation. We don't have to be ugly. We don't have to try to force it off on anybody. Somebody said, well, you need to respect other people's religions. I'd be disrespecting God if I do. I don't have to try to force them to believe. God won't, and I shouldn't. But no, don't tell me I have to respect other gods when the Lord has been very straight with me about you shall have no other gods. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He's everything. He's everything. He's everything. The beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega. He's everything, everything, everything. There is no forgiveness. There is no salvation. There is no eternal life. There is no heaven without Him. And if you don't have Him, you don't have God. I can give you multiple scriptures for that. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have the Father. I'm quoting 1 John and 2 John and John. Mm-mm. But if you have Jesus, you have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And they're working on your place in heaven, getting it ready for you to come. You got Jesus? You got everything. You got everything. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm. Let me just make it super clear. You don't have to turn to these, but put on the screen 1 John 2:22. I quoted them, but I want to make sure you know I didn't write this. 1 John 2:22. Who's a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He's the Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Verse 23. Whoever denies the Son, what? The same does not have the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son, he has the Father also. 2 John 9, just one chapter in 2 John. 2 John 9, whoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ doesn't have God. If you deny Jesus, no matter what you say, you don't know God and you don't have God. If you either believe the Bible or you don't. Now, you can believe anything you want to, but a real Christian believes the Bible. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, the teaching about Jesus, he has both. The Father and the Son. Because you can't get to the Father any other way except by Jesus. Verse 10. If anybody comes to you and they don't bring this doctrine about Jesus, you don't let them in your house. Really? No. And you don't tell them Godspeed. What does that mean? What's Godspeed mean? Hope you do well. Yeah. God be with you. The Lord help you, you know. Do good in it. If they're not preaching Jesus, you don't want to help them at all with what they're preaching. Huh? Verse 11. Because he that bids him Godspeed's partaker of his evil deeds. You don't want to encourage anybody that tries to tell you that Jesus is not necessary or optional. Yeah. And there are other ways to get to heaven and be saved. Mm-mm. No. So chapter 5, 1 John 5. And I'll see if we can wrap this up. And as you can tell, this is a summary of a big subject. Right? But aren't we thankful for what Jesus has done for us? In 1 John 5, what do we get down to? Verse 7? Pull it up, let's see. Huh? Keep going. I don't need to preach on all these, don't have time. Keep going. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. This is the witness of God which he's testified of his Son. This is the insight here as to why you don't have God if you don't accept Jesus. Yeah. Keep going. He that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believes not God has made him a liar because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. If you're going to say, I believe in God and God and I are tight, but I don't believe in Jesus. No, you don't know God at all and you're not saved because the only one creator of the universe spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Hear him. The Father confirmed Jesus through all the signs and wonders. He declared him, even with audible voice, out of the sky. And if you say, well, I don't believe in Jesus, then you're calling the Father a liar. Because he said, Jesus is the Messiah. He is my Son. He is the Redeemer. Keep going. This is the record. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Not in good works. Not in how much you've given to the poor. Not in how right you've been and good you think you've been. It's all in Jesus. Verse 12. He that has the Son has life. If you don't have the Son, and this is talking about eternal life. You do not have eternal life without Jesus. You are not on your way to heaven. Keep going. These things I've written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God. How many in here would raise a hand and say, that's me, that's me, that's me. That you may know you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Somebody say, I do, I do, I do. Verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Keep going. If we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have it. the petitions that we desired of him. Keep going. And if. Now this is talking about prayer. This is talking about asking. And receiving. Whatever you asked. And it's also talking about sin. Do y'all see why we're here now? If anybody sees his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, so all sin's not the same. He shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. This is marvelous. This is you or me asking for somebody else. I says, can that work? You see it in other places in the scripture. When Jesus was hanging on the cross. Right? What did he do? Father, forgive. They didn't ask him to pray that prayer. Father, forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. And when Philip was stoned. Right? Similar thing. What did he say? Lord, as he's dying. He said, Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. Is he asking him, asking the Father, forgive them for killing me?
Yeah.
And what do you think happened? The Father forgave them for that. Because Stephen asked him to. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. He goes on to say, there is a sin unto death. I do not say he shall pray for it. Anytime you're communing with the Father, it doesn't need to be a monologue. It needs to be two-way. Right? And there were times, if you read in the prophets, where they're trying to ask the Father for mercy for a certain situation, and he told them, don't ask me again. Don't pray for them. That means there are things you don't know. Right? And you don't know what's all led up to this and what's going on, but you just have to listen to him. But there are many, 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 many other situations where if you just looked and said, Lord, I don't think they half know what they're doing and what's going on. Would you have mercy, Lord, and forgive them for that? He will do it. Just because you asked him to. What we talked about at the instrument, so well, how bad can it get, you know, before it's too bad, it's too late? How many times have we seen in the scripture said, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his
mercy
endured. How long?
Forever.
How long?
Forever.
And Romans 8, I don't have time to get into it, but maybe we can pick back up here, we'll see. But he talks at the end of the chapter about not death, not life, not principalities, not powers, not things present, not things to come. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. The exception to that list is us. What can separate you from the love of God? You can. Only you. If you decide to reject him. Hebrews talks about it in the 6th chapter, in the 10th chapter, about counting the blood of Jesus as a common thing. Saying, after you were enlightened, getting back into the world and deciding he was just a man. The virgin birth is not real. The blood's just like anybody else's blood. That sounds like you're going to be lost. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
That's the one thing you cannot do. Because Hebrews, and it's not that God just says, I won't forgive you for it. If you read Hebrews 6, it says you can't renew that person to repentance. You can't get them to repent. Well, if you won't repent, that's it. No, child of God, No matter how bad you've missed it. No matter how long it was. No matter how far you went. His mercy endures forever. And as long as you want to be forgiven, as long as you'll say you believe in Him, as long as you'll speak reverently about the blood and the Spirit of grace, you can be forgiven. You can be cleansed. You can be washed. Hallelujah. Even to the point where you can look at other people and God, well, Lord, will you forgive them? And He'll do it too. Just, He is so gracious. He is so merciful. He is so good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
But the one thing you got to be anchored, I mean, your roots go down deep into it. It's a pillar inside you that Jesus is Lord. He is the Messiah. He is the Redeemer. His blood is the only price that could be paid. He is. That is non-negotiable. That is not open for debate our discussion. That's the one thing you cannot toy with.
Hmm?
And as long as you got that, you can be forgiven of anything. You can be restored of it. And I mean, anything's a big word, but I mean anything. You can be not only forgiven, washed clean. He won't mention it to you again. And used of Him mightily afterwards. Stand on your feet, everybody.